greetings. Greetings and peace be unto you in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you hear me back there? Amen. He said it's good. All right. Well, my name is Harold, and I'm saved and on my way to heaven last time I checked. Well, sometimes when we wake up in the morning, you know. But I am a Christian. I didn't used to be. 60 years old now. And I ended up getting saved a couple dozen years ago. And the last 20 years, I was a faithful member of the same church with the same pastor. And then, to be forthright, I'm in the midst of a midlife crisis as we speak. I'm still a Christian. I'm still saved, at least as far as what the Bible says. But my pastor died. My baby sister died. One of my best friends died. My bestest friends went back to prison. And then the new pastor of the church made up some new rules and stuff, and that was it for me. So I'm in the middle of doing something I've done many times in the past. Some of you already heard my testimony. I just pretend I don't believe anything or I don't know anything, and I go back and start all over again and check everything and reread everything and pray about everything. And so I got like 4 dozen different Bible studies and word studies on my desktop, having to do with about 9 different things. What I'm trying to do is get together, what do I believe and why do I believe it, you know, because this church that I was with for all those years, some of the things, because I've been looking for the truth, right, and I get closer and more, it gets deeper and wider, Lord's good, but then some of the stuff I just bought into because, you know, I didn't know why they wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots, you know. Or, you know, you have to shave every day and wear a tie and all this stuff. So I just went along with that because it was part of the package deal, right? So I'm in this church for all these years. And shaving, I hate shaving. That's why, you know, I don't know how long it's been. But, yeah, I ain't shaved in a while. But I want to know what God wants me to know, what God wants me to do. And I know enough to know that I can do what God wants me to do if I will let him help me do it. And so it was kind of hard. You know, being in the same church for 20 years, and bam, pastor dies, and then everybody dies. You know, so I'm in the midst of, by the grace of God, making a comeback. Things that are still suffering is my prayer life, my sanctification. You know, I'm not very spiritual at the moment. Like if you smacked me, I'd probably smack you back. But God is still working in my life, and the good thing is I have this book. And the main reason why I'm a Christian is because when I was 7 years old, I wanted to know what was true and what was so and why everything was the way it was. And so after many, many years of 45,000 hours of study and like a half a dozen years and almost 300 credits in like 3 or 4 different universities and 14,000 books and, yeah, so I know a lot of stuff. And I know enough to know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's a good place to start. What I wanted to talk about this morning was John 3:16. Yeah. And it's a famous verse. It's been called the gospel in a nutshell. There's a lot of stuff in it. Like, well, who doesn't know the verse? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. No, that's the other one. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a lot of stuff in there. Where's the clock? That's cool. You ain't got one either. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. So, yeah, it'll be over in like, you know, 20 minutes or so. But I get to sit here and talk for a little while about Jesus. That's pretty awesome. But, yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. One of my concerns, my biggest, favoritest thing is Christian apologetics. Because, like, in this long journey of reading all these books and going to all kinds of different churches and practice several different religions along the way, there's Mahayana Buddhism and Theravada Buddhism and, you know, all the different kinds of yoga and stuff and everything. And I did the Eastern disciplines of meditation and breathing control when I was a kid. And I almost joined the Catholic Church not long ago, but I ended up being a Bible Baptist. And I kind of base what I believe on what Paul said and worked my way out from there. I haven't got it all figured out yet. But here's what I do know. talking about for God so loves the world. The first big word in that verse is God. Okay? It's a very small one-syllable word, but it's a very, very big subject. Okay? So here's the thing. You, just like me, are human beings. Okay? And there's ways that we're unique, like snowflakes, right? But all snowflakes are made out of water, and they all have the same, you know. So there's ways that we're the same. And one of the ways that we're the same is the Bible teaches us that God made us in His image and in His likeness, right? He made man for Himself, okay? He made us to know Him, and He reveals Himself to us because He wants us to know Him, okay? So, talking about God, the first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God, and that's the very first verse in the book. What you need to understand is the Bible is not everything that God knows. The Bible is everything that God wants you to know. And so, we're talking about this word God in John 3:16. And it seems like the majority of people here would profess faith in Christ. So this, and this, you're evangelical, you met with God through faith in Christ, and He did something for you. You receive redemption and the gift of His Spirit. You have new life and faith and hope and a future, and you want to share this with people, right? Okay, I very carefully study the Bible, and here's what I'm trying to say. What you need to know, every single time in the Word of God that any man of God or prophet of God or apostle of God opened his mouth to talk to a Gentile, he didn't quote no Bible verses. If you look when they talked to the Jews were people of the book. And Peter opens his mouth in Acts chapter 2, and he's quoting Scripture. Go look what Paul said to the pagans in chapter 17 or something like that. He never quoted anything to them. When he talked about the unknown God, he didn't quote no Scripture. The very first thing that any man or prophet of God mentions and brings up when dealing with Gentiles is creation. Check it out. When Jonah, the prophet Jonah, all right, the Hebrew prophet Jonah is on this boat with these lost Gentiles, and they say, hey, who are you? And he said, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the God who made heaven and earth. Because there's lots and lots of gods. Paul says there be many gods and there be many lords, but there's one true and living God. Okay? And so he says, hey, I worship the God who made heaven and earth. Talking about the creator of the creation. You got to be educated beyond your level of intelligence to believe that everything made itself by accident out of nothing for no reason. Okay? So talking about God, and a lot of people have wrong ideas about God. Well, He's the creator. When Paul was talking to the Gentiles on Mars Hill, he started talking about, the very first thing he said was, let me tell you about this unknown God you don't know. He's the God who made heaven and earth and everything that's in it. Creation. Okay? So if you're wanting to witness to people, you need to bear this in mind. That and another thing I'll get to. That God as creator, okay? Because you're dealing with another person who's in this world and their head is full of junk from the devil. But really, some light could shine in there if you would bring up the subject like, hey, we are here. Okay? We didn't put ourselves here. You know, and that's something you could work from. The other thing is the law. If you want to get people to God and bring them to the truth, you approach them about you are representing the God who is the creator of all this, okay, and who made them and wants them to know Him, okay? The other thing is the law. It's like how many people ever heard of Ray Comfort? Okay, well, he's got something called Hell's Best Kept Secret. And he had a very good point. It's like a man on an airplane, and you tell him, hey, wear this parachute, right? And you'll have a really groovy flight and everything, and you'll like it and everything. Look, I'm wearing one. Wear this parachute. So he wears the parachute, but he's sitting there all uncomfortable, and people are looking at him like he's stupid. And he says, forget this junk. He takes it off. The plane crashes, and he dies. But then another guy says, hey, you're on this airplane, and you have such and such a chance of this. An accident could happen, so this plane could go down, and you might need this parachute. So, you know, it'll be uncomfortable and stuff, and you'll look funny, and people might laugh at you, but if you need it, you will be really glad that you have it. And so then, the plane goes, and he lives. It's the law. the law of God, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal, okay? Once you deal with them that you're representing the God of creation, you want to tell them about the God who made all this and who made them, okay? They have to understand the law, that there is a God and it's not you, and there's such a thing as right and wrong, and God's right and you're wrong, and you're going to die sooner than you think and when you least expect it, and then there's going to be a judgment day, you know? So two biggie things is, like, every time in the Bible when a man or prophet of God opens his mouth to the Gentiles, the first thing, check for yourself. Don't believe nothing I say. Get your Bible and check for yourself. The first thing they mention is creation. So I think it would be an important subject for a Christian to know something about. We all live in our, like, little circles of contact and activity, and it's a big world with all kinds of people and believing all kinds of stuff, and there's all kinds of false prophets and false teachers selling all kinds of stuff, and you have no idea what's in the heads of the people you're trying to deal with, but you need to get through to them about that there's a God who created all this stuff, and there's such a thing as right and wrong. So, but talking about God, the very first book, the very first verse in the book that God gave you says, in the beginning, God. That's that little word. It's a big subject. Somebody said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, no matter what you were taught. Okay? And the reason why people have a problem with the Bible is because the Bible knows all about them and tells it. And the very first verse of the book contradicts, like, every other religion and philosophy in the world. Atheist says there is no God. First verse, in the beginning, God. You know, you can go on and on. Look how it shoots down pantheism and fatalism and uniformitarianism and atheism. Whatever your ism is, the first verse in the Bible smack you silly. So that's why some people don't like it. But I'm talking about this God, okay? In dealing with people, this would help. We are here. I'm looking right at you right now, okay? So, this is something they never told you in public school. You ready? This is a freebie. I guarantee you never learned this in public school. There's only four things you can say. Number one, we're not really here. We just think we're here. Number two, we've always been here. Or number three, it happened by accident, by itself, out of nothing, for no reason. And number four, some being over and above and outside of it created it. It's only four things you can say. So we are here, and if you're going to tell me we're not really here, we just think we're here, then you need to go home and keep smoking whatever it is you were smoking. I'm not going to waste my time trying to talk with you because you're a silly person, okay? I'm going to show you that no matter how long you think about this and no matter how hard you think about it, there's nothing you could say. There's no other way to slice it. There's only four things you could say. And the first one is, well, we're not really here. We just think we're here. Well, that's illogical. Look, who's paying for the gas to run this thing? If you're saying this is all an illusion, where'd the illusion come from? Okay, that's just silly. And okay, so forget that one. Number two, the universe has always been here. Now, there was this guy, Carl Sagan. He's dead now. He knows better. But the guy with the billions and billions of years, he said the universe is all that there is, ever was, or will be. And one of the ancient mystical secret baloney societies I was involved with was called the Rosicrucians. Have you ever heard of them? Yeah, and they teach that the universe is eternal. You know, that's the universe and us and everything is God, and that's all that there is. It's just, well, where'd it come from? Well, it's always been there. You know, well, no, because if you're going to tell me the universe has always been there, that violates known demonstrable laws of science. You know, the first law of thermodynamics is everything is winding down and wearing out and falling apart. I mean, just look at your hair when you wake up in the morning, if you have hair. You know, so nothing's getting better by itself, right? So if you're going to tell me, well, the universe has always been here, no, that contradicts known scientific laws. So, well, it made itself by accident out of nothing for no reason. Well, that contradicts another law of science, that energy can never be created or destroyed. It's called the conservation of energy, and the Big Bang violates that in a very big way. So then that leaves that a God made it. So here we are. You're trying to reach a lost person. They need to understand that there's a God, and it's not them. So either we're not really here, we just think we're here, or we've always been here, or it just made itself out of nothing, or God made it. And only one answer doesn't contradict science and is rational and makes sense. So what are you going to do with that? Okay, so God, that's a big word. There's a website guy called Dr. Lubingill, and the website is Ichthys. It's the Greek word for fish. But you can get the whole website, download the whole website. And it's got really good stuff about theology, because what we're talking about is God, okay? And the Bible says God is a God of knowledge. And it says grow in grace and knowledge of him, okay? And be renewed in his image after the knowledge. It's knowledge. All we have is words, okay? The Bible says that God created by speaking, right? And then he made man in his image. And we have a whole section of our brain that apes don't have. And we think in words and we speak in words. And God is called the Word. And he created words and he gave us a book of words. Okay? And words are containers for meaning. And knowledge is as you read the Bible and you're getting the meaning out of those containers, those words, you're growing in knowledge and understanding of like who God is, what he is like. Okay? And everybody knows that in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path, right? What does that mean to acknowledge him? Just stop ignoring him and pretending he's not there. You know what I mean? That's if you read your Bible carefully, there's a part of you that's not saved. A man's a body and a soul and a spirit. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, it says, let everything be confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I have three verses in the Bible that will teach you a man has three parts. Not two, but anyways, a part of me is not saved. Romans chapter 8 says, I await the redemption of my body. So inside is the new man, okay? And I love God, and I love his word, and I know what's right, and I want to do what's right. But the part of you that's not saved is still there, especially when you wake up in the morning or when things go wrong, you know? And it would help anyone to know more and understand more about God. Someone mentioned, I think Keith said something about, oh, faith and believing and stuff like that. I have no problem with believing at all. I mean, because it's been so long, I know that this is a supernatural book. Okay? I mean, I'm talking, I'll go to court right now. Not criminal court, civil court. And if I get 51 and you get 49, I win. So if you want to talk about, did Jesus really rise from the dead? I'll crush you in court. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's stuff like that. So, to know God, to have knowledge of God, to grow an understanding of God, he gave you a book so you could learn about him and know more about him, right? We're doing great. So, there's more than one Bible. There's four Bibles. Revelations of God, God revealing himself, giving you information, knowledge, more words, more understanding. Okay, there's this one. This is the one everybody thinks of. I went to the store and paid to have that put on there, so you know this is not a day planner. Yeah, because you could stand there and just stand there next to the street and the cars are driving by, and I'll just go like that and hold it up like that. Don't have to say anything. Don't need a sign with a Bible verse on it. Just go like that and hold like that. And people drive by, a little black book with the gold letters. Holy One loves you, basic instructions before leaving earth. They know what's in it. Lots of people. You just have to, yeah, I don't go out of my house without this. This slows bullets down. Yeah. But God has revealed himself in more than just the book. Okay, this is the written revelation of God. But you also know another one is the creation, right? Yeah, but see, now back up, hang on a second. Here's a word of God you might have missed. Because whenever you think you found all the truth and you're done, you know, I mean, it's always going to be the one true God is the one, Jesus is the way, and everybody, but it gets deeper and richer and wider, and it gets a bigger, clearer, sweeter picture. And your faith gets stronger and stronger to where you get like me, and I don't have problems with faith. I know God is. I know what's true. I know Jesus is coming back, so that's, you know, I'm focusing on getting my prayer life back to where it was. And, you know, so there's the revelation of God in his written word. There's the revelation of God in creation. And here's what you might have missed. Didn't the Bible say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? How did God create creation? He spoke. How much time have you spent looking at what he made? I grew up with a microscope. And I got all this stuff from the Hubble deep field. So from the subatomic quarks out to the superclusters of galaxies. And you wouldn't believe all the stuff that's in between. And just the stuff, here's what I'm saying that you probably didn't think about. God spoke creation. So it came out of his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God gave us a book of words from his heart. God gave us Jesus. That's Revelation number 3. So you can look at Jesus and see God, right? Well, you got your conscience. In Romans chapter 2, it says you got God's law on your conscience. So you got creation, you got the Bible, you got Jesus, and you got your conscience. But think about creation. Have you ever checked out creation? There's a frog in the jungle in South America that rats like to eat, but he doesn't like to be eaten. And when the rat comes to eat this bony little frog, he jumps around and turns his back to the rat. Because on the frog's back, when he turns around and he puts his little bony hind leg, he looks like a rat. His pointy butt is the nose of the rat, and he's got eyeballs and his legs like whiskers. He looks exactly like a rat that likes to eat the snake that eats the frog. So how did the frog evolve to paint a picture on his back that looks like a rat to scare the snake away? And there's 10 million other things. So think of what I said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But did you think about this awesome creation? Right here and now, there's a lot of messed up junk of the sin and everything, a lot of hurt, a lot of ugliness. I mean, you're looking at a messed up creation. It's still got awesomeness in it. And whenever you're looking at the awesomeness of God's creation, think about he said it. He said, let there be, and it was. God spoke it. He tells you he spoke it into existence. So when you're seeing awesome things in God's creation, some things are messed up, upside down, backwards, inside out, out of balance and stuff, but you can still see. And that's something that God, everything is revealing himself to you. The word he gave you, the son that he sent, the creation he spoke into existence, and the conscience he put inside of you. God made you for him. He wants you to know him. So, talking about that word God, you can go to this website and check out some good theology stuff. But the next word in that verse, see if we finished that little word God. It's a big subject. He made you in his image. He wants you to know him. Okay? And the next thing would be love. Yeah. Now this is important. And it's not a small matter. Okay, God is love, 1 John chapter 4. That's a wonderful thing. But he's a balanced being. Okay, God is not just love, he's also holy, and he hates sin. And he has to punish sin. But in Jesus Christ, Almighty God, who is holy, made a way for his mercy to triumph over his justice. And his justice says, I flaunted his law and broke his law, I need to die or be cut off from God forever. But God made a way in Jesus Christ for his justice to be satisfied with what Jesus did so I could go free. Because he made us for himself, he wants us to be his family. Right? I mean, to me, this is like, wow, this is really deep. And like people, like maybe they talk about it and they don't think about what they're saying. But in Galatians chapter 3, it says, ye are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Children of God. Y'all need shook up a little bit. Okay, here, Revelations here. Revelations. In the seven letters to the churches, Jesus mentions about, oh, he who overcomes will sit down with me in my throne. That's pretty cool. But listen to this. At the end of the book, he says, that's the red letters. They've got to be in there. Where was it? Chapter 20. He says, he that overcometh. Here it is. How come it's not in red? I got a mixed up Bible. In Revelations 21:7, he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So he that overcometh shall inherit all things. You understand? You're hearing the voice of Almighty Creator God who spoke the universe into existence, talking to you, saying, you will be my son, and sit with me in my throne. You heard that before, right? Yeah, but you don't believe it. See? Okay. It'll be 10 more minutes. I'm going to be out here. This whole church thing is Jesus' idea. Because you're going to leave here and go back. I'm going to go back to my coffee, my chocolate, my cats, and my books, right? Yeah. And we'll be out here soon. It'll be over soon. So But here's the thing. This gathering together, and like on a certain day and a certain time, and it was his idea, okay? You have to do this. It will not work if you do not do this. If you have been born again by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have to. Not saying what day, not saying what time, or how many times. Just like the Bible mentions fasting, it never says when or how or how much or how. Okay. But there's 3 dozen positive references to it. But if you're having really bad problems, you might want to give it a try. But yeah, this whole church thing is his idea. For people who believe the same. If we got down to it, we could find ways where everybody in this room kind of disagrees about little. There's main things, like the 5 things you have to be believe to be a Christian and not a heretic. There's 1 God and 3 persons. The 3 persons are the 1 God. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. Okay, the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And Jesus coming back just like he said, and boy, is he mad. And anyways, so something like that. Yeah. So you cannot be a Christian and stay home. There's too many verses about love one another and exhort one another and pray for one. All these verses about what we do with one another and for one another. You have to, at least once a week, get together with at least 1 or 2 other people that believe in Jesus and everything to where you can check up on each other and pray for one another and encourage one another. You know what I mean? It's very, very important. You can't be a Christian and stay home. You gotta be in church. That's something from when I was a baby Christian, I knew I needed to be in church every time the doors were open because I needed all the help I could get. But moving right along. Love, for God so loved the world. The Holy Spirit doesn't waste words. It doesn't say God loved the world. And it says, for God so loved the world. Okay? And love is not like a mushy feeling or something abstract. Love is a verb. It's action. It's something that you do. Okay? And I grew up in the gangs on the streets and everything. So I was a tough guy. And nobody's hugging me or touching me. And I ain't holding hands and singing kumbaya with nobody. You know, overly macho stuff. But love. When I was going through narcotic withdrawal in the mental hospital and I got saved, when I remembered the gospel, how I got saved was believing that God loved me. You know, I mean, how could God love me, right? But somehow that got through like a little ray of light shining through a crack in the dark that this Creator loved me, you know. And so I can show you a couple things he said. Jeremiah 31, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. My wife's favorite verse, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated, he put it out there, how, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So look, if God knew what you was when he saved you, and when we were sinners and when we were his enemies, okay, he sent his beloved son to die for us. Now that you have received Christ and been accepted in the beloved and you're baptized into his body and you're a member of his family, don't you think that now he would love you and take care of what you need if he loved you enough to do that when you were his enemy? So much more though now that we're saved, don't you think God will take care of you? And yeah, so you need to be in your Bible every day, as much as you can get away with, and memorize some of it. You can carry it with you and meditate on it, because another thing that'll take you out and take you down quicker than anything else is for you to forget where you are and what you are and what time it is and what's going on. A part of you is not saved, okay? If you're blessed and you have a good life now and you're happy, never forget that the part of you that does not love Jesus is always waiting to make a comeback and take everything away, okay? I told that to Pete when he dropped me off. I said, I threw that in there and shut the door, you know. Yeah, make you think. It's nice to be happy and groovy and everything, but sometimes you need to hear some reminders of some serious important things, that there's a God and it's not you and there's right and wrong. God's right and you're wrong. And Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. So talking about God and now talking about his love, in 1 John 3 it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Okay, talking about John 3:16. Have you ever heard of 1 John 3:16? Hereby perceive we the love of God. He's going to tell you how we perceive it. To perceive means to like mentally grasp something, like in your brain. Oh, I got it. Okay. So how do we perceive the love of God? Ready? Because he laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, who's the he? God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that doesn't mean you have to go nail yourself to a cross. Laying down your lives for the brethren can be with the help and grace that God provides and the renewing of your mind. You can have a life that's less and less all for you and about you and centered around you. Because if you haven't found out yet, that ends up being kind of like a vain waste of time. Okay, and God can help you figure that out by giving you all your desires, everything you ever wanted. And then inside you're empty. It's like, I got everything. I'm not happy. Because God wants you to know that you need to know that what you need, that what's going to make you happy ultimately is God. Okay, so you need to check up on yourself and remember, hey, like the song was saying, I am a child of God. Whoa. It don't hurt to repeat that, huh? So yeah, you need to always keep up on things, because if you stop coming to church, stop reading your Bible, stop praying, things are going to take a bad turn for everybody every time. There's no exceptions. So God is awesome. His love is awesome. It knows no bounds. And let's see, the world. He said, for God so loved the world. Yeah, we'll be done in 5 minutes. The world is not your friend. Okay? It says, for God so loved the world. But then it says, love not the world. What it is when it said God so loved the world, when he said world there, he meant you. God so loved the world of people, of Adam's children. Okay? When it tells you not to love the world, it's talking about the present evil world system has no truth in it. I mean, like I said, the midlife crisis. You know, I mean, I'm high-functioning autistic, if you didn't know, so you understand when I say I studied Einstein's papers when I was like 12 years old, and Einstein was like a god, you know, and they told me all this stuff in school about Einstein, the Big Bang. I was like, wow, I bought into this stuff and everything, and I got it all figured out. And then now I find out that Einstein didn't know what he was talking about, and his general relativity is invalidated and stuff. And so all this stuff that this world told me that was true, I found out is a lie. All the politics and the history and religion, I mean, just everything about this world, it's a big, fat, stinking lie. You want one example? Don't forget your sunscreen. Wait a minute. The number one thing to stop cancer in your body would be vitamin D. And when sun shines on your skin, it makes vitamin D. And when you put the sunscreen on, it stops 99% of the vitamin D production. And some sunscreen elements are photoreceptive, where the sun shines on them, they turn carcinogenic. And some elements, when they're in the chlorine water in the pool, it turns them into carcinogenic elements. I don't want no sunscreen. I don't want a vaccine. I don't want to eat what they advertise on TV. I want what God wants me to have. I want what God wants me to know. I want to be what God wants me to be. And helping me in that direction is understanding God, what that little word means, and how awesome he is. And he wants me to know him, and how awesome his love is, and how he showed us how much he loved us in Jesus Christ. And I really like the part that he rose from the dead. Yeah. I already told you, of the 10 known smartest people in the world with IQs from 195 to 230, there's only one atheist in the bunch. Yeah. One atheist, one agnostic. He says there probably isn't a God, but if there is, there's probably a bunch of them, so he don't know. But there's 8 of them that believe in God, and 6 are Christians. Yeah. So, but you got to watch out with human reasoning and intelligence, because having like an IQ in the top 1% did not keep me from putting needles in my arm. Or worshiping Satan. Okay, so, yeah. But you need to take the brain that God gave you, and why he gave it to you was so you could use it to find out stuff and know him, and he told you to grow in grace and knowledge. So you read your Bible, you look at creation, and you listen to your conscience, you'll be heading in the right direction. Last but not least, yeah, the world's not your friend. But I'm glad that love reached down into this stinking sewer of a hellhole and reached me. All right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. I mean, how easy is that? There's one place in the Bible where a guy says, sir, what must I do to be saved? And he says, well, you got to cut your hair like Brother Harold and quit smoking and get baptized like this and then speak in tongues and give this much money and tell the Pope you love him. And no. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? How hard is believe? Now, there are some people believe, but they ain't got it, because I'm not just talking about just mental assent. Like, oh, yeah, you know, like that song. Jesus is just all right with me. Yeah, he's all right, yeah. No, that's not right. In the Bible, when it says believe, it's talking about clinging to and trusting in and relying on. Here you are sailing on the sea of life and your ship is sinking and you're done and he throwed you a lifesaver and you're hanging on to that. He's your captain now. He's the one that's going to see you through. You're hanging on to him. That's what it's talking about. Not Mary, not how you was baptized, or your dad was a preacher, or how much money you gave to the poor, or you never kicked a cat, or whatever. No, you have to put all your faith and hope and trust in the only begotten Son of God, the unique Son of God that he gave. And what did Jesus say? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Right? Yeah, I wonder what God is like. Open Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look Jesus in the face. Right? That's what God is like. He's very, very polite. He's very kind, very patient. He's never failed me one time. He's very faithful and true. His scripture, he's never broke one promise. He's always done everything he said he would do. He's never let me down. You know, I mean, man, the devil gave me a hard way to go. You know, he told me he was my father and Jesus is a liar and everything, you know. So believing that's how hard it is to get it. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish is not good. But have everlasting life. So, we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And here's some little verses of assurance. Jesus said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:15. You believe, you have eternal life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, and for all you Greekophiles, that's perfect present tense possession, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. There's nothing hard to understand. John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why say more? Okay, there is one God, and it's not you. And he gave you a book. There's a very popular verse in that book, For God So Loved the World, and that world includes you. And what you need to do is believe on this Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about if you don't know him. Because he's a fact of history. I got more evidence to prove he existed than I do for Julius Caesar. And the fact that he rose from the dead from a sealed tomb is very impressive to me. So I put my faith and hope in this man, Christ Jesus, and his spirit moved into my life and changed my life and saved my soul from the devil's hell I belonged in. And he gave me his book of truth to lead me through life as a light into my path. And the future's looking pretty bright because he is coming back, just like he said. I've gave up on the eschatology stuff like raptures and the second coming and book of Revelation. I don't care. I'm worried about how can I be right with God today? How can I be free from sin and not grieve the Holy Spirit today? How can I be less a selfish, self-centered person and do something with God helping me to help somebody else today? Okay, so we're done. And I hope you got something out of it. God's been a real blessing to me. His word has. It's a comfort and a strength. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to take care of that before you stop breathing, because it's a limited time offer. Okay? So God, who made the world and loves the world and sent his Son into the world, wants you to be saved out of this world and live with him forever. Amen. So that's the closing word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your awesome mercy and your amazing grace. I thank you for getting me here this morning, God, and how you bless us and love us. I just pray everyone here, Lord, would stir themselves up to lay hold of you, to seek you with their whole heart, God, and that one wouldn't be subtly drawn aside and Lord, grow cold. I pray that you'd stir us up to seek you with our whole heart. Thank you how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.